be in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Remember, we're continuing a series titled Truly Christian. If you didn't get a listening guide, there's some on the back table. I encourage you to grab one, take some notes, write down some questions you may have, and we can work through them together in community group. So, remember, we're talking in this series about beholding the true Christ and then learning what it means to be truly Christian. In a world full of counterfeits, we want to be those who are truly walking in the light. So hear God's word from 1 John chapter 2. John says, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him, Jesus Christ, and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Amen. This is the word of our God. Invite you. Let's pray together. Let's ask for God's help as his people together in the hearing and doing of his word. Our Father in heaven, we bless your name. We thank you for so great a gift that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. He is that word of life. He is our eternal life. We thank you that Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And indeed, O God, your Son Jesus has brought us to you. And as you have brought us into the light, O Lord, we ask now as we study your word, we long to walk in that light more fully, increasingly. So we come to you now, Lord. We are confident of the great salvation you've given us in your Son Jesus. And we are most definitely certain that we need your help, Lord, to keep following Jesus day by day. So please now, in the hearing of your word, feed us. Your sheep. Cause our faith to rise again. Help us to submit ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our words, our deeds, all that we are, Lord. Help us to come under again, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and a complete faith in him. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, looking at this small section of verses together, so we're intentionally moving through the book a little bit rather slowly, just so we can sort of zoom in and take time to actually build ourselves up in the Christian faith. You know, if you're building a house with bricks, you don't want to just slap them on there all crooked. You want to make sure you've got them all in line so that when the wind comes, the trials come, and the storm beats on the house is well built. So looking at this small section of verses together, the Apostle John is teaching us and teaching the early church that walking in the light means loving one another. Walking in the light of God means nothing less than loving one another in Jesus Christ. This is what true Christianity is all about. John is saying if it doesn't end with loving one another in the way that Christ loved us, it's not true Christianity. It's a very encouraging word, because the faith has some substance to it. It's actually going to change us. But that is a challenging word, isn't it? Because we live in a time, and we've always been this way as people, it is much easier to say the right things. It's a whole other story to do the right things. To say, don't listen to what I say, but watch what I do, and do what I do. And that is, as Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So, walking in the light means loving one another. Crossword puzzles are a lot of fun. I like doing crossword puzzles. I got in the habit of doing them when I actually waited tables all those years at the restaurant, because you'd show up and some days you'd be slam busy. You'd be, just one table after another. It'd be like trying to refill everyone's sweet tea glass and just throw it all out there, because people are just chugging it. But some days it was really slow and you're just kind of waiting around. thinking, I wonder if I'm going to pay the bills this week. You know, I wonder if anybody's going to come in. So we'd all huddle around the bar counter, and we'd work on the crossword puzzle together, right? And we'd come and go, you know, in and out, you know, because you're, you know, got to go get the table. And sometimes you forget you had a table because you're thinking about the answer. And it'd be like, you know, 13 down, you know, 13 down, you know, the hint is this. You're like, try this. No, that doesn't fit. No, try that. You're like, no, you can't even spell. You know, that's not the, not only is that answer wrong, but you can't even spell right, you know. But crossword puzzles are neat because of the way that each answer sort of builds on itself, right? The whole thing is a connected whole. And with each correct answer, you get further and further in the puzzle. It's all leading to a specific final answer. You know, some of those you'd circle some of the clue, you know, specific letters from each answer. And if you got them all right, you got the final answer at the end. Well, in a similar way, I don't know if you guys have noticed this as we're working through John. John is essentially making it very simple. He's filling out a crossword puzzle, if you will, on what does it mean to have fellowship with God in a world where people have a thousand different opinions about what it means to know God and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and what Christianity is all about. And people have all their opinions about who we are as Christians. John has been filling out the crossword puzzle for us. And the first answer, if you will, was the word of life. John says, I'm testifying to the word of life. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is the eternal life? He was with the Father. He was made manifest to us. Jesus Christ, not Gandhi, not Buddha, not enlightenment, not self-help, not good vibes. Jesus Christ is the source and the substance of this faith. And then working through the crossword puzzle, the second answer, he moves on. He says, this is a message that God is light. That's the second blank he's filled in. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So we've talked a little bit about how, you know, being a Christian, knowing God, having fellowship with our Maker, is not about taking him into the darkness with us. Not about the increasing of evil or the allowance of evil or the affirming of evil. Sometimes people think that love just means accepting anything and everything. But love does not work that way from God, because God is light. He is taking us out of the darkness and into the light with himself. God is light. This is what Christianity is about. And now coming back through the crossword puzzle, the next thing that John has filled in for us, we saw last week, is that Christ is the way. Christ is the way, the only way, that we who are in the darkness, we who do not listen to God since Adam, born in Adam, and that sin against God has brought a separation of fellowship with God, we need Christ as the way. He's the only way that we can walk in the light with God. We need his cross, which then leads us to keep his commandments. I had someone ask me this week, you know, does grace mean you can just go out and sin and you're good? And I said, well, no, you've misunderstood grace, because the Bible says whoever knows him, whoever abides in him, will walk in the exact same way in which Jesus Christ walked. To know the grace of Christ at the cross and forgiveness from our sins leads us then to have his Spirit living within us, which sets us free to walk in the same way in which Jesus Christ walked. So the conclusion then is, we're getting through the crossword puzzle. God is light, Christ is the way, and that means that love is God's command for Christians. Love, L-O-V-E, it's the proof that we are walking in the light as he is in the light. You know, it's like a crossword puzzle. We can, and we often do, try to put a lot of other answers in there as to what the proof is or what Christianity is supposed to be about. We might put in just simply saying the right things, simply hearing I hear the right things once a week, so I check that box. That's what Christianity is about. Or it's a political platform. I can subscribe to all the proper political things that I should follow. I'm conservative, or, you know, you fill in the blank, whatever all those political platforms are. Sometimes we think that even just talking the talk is good enough. But John says, the proof that we're walking in the light is that we love as Jesus has loved us. It's kind of like the sun shining through a magnifying glass, right? You can focus that light, and if the sun is really shining through the magnifying glass, eventually it's going to heat up whatever you're aiming it on, and something's going to catch fire. And that's the proof that all the pieces have come together. You can put your hand by it and say, oh, there's something happening here. Heat is being given off. And in the same way, if we're actually walking in the light of God through the way of Jesus Christ, we will begin to love as Jesus has loved us. So if we're going to be truly Christian, and not counterfeits, not fakes. The love command, is what we have to test ourselves by and remind ourselves of constantly. So to make his point, John explains that the love command, three things: it remains in Jesus, it's realized in Jesus, and it is required in Jesus. So first, this love command, which we are to test ourselves by, remains in Jesus Christ. This is what John is saying. It's not removed. It's not relaxed. It's not Jesus died, so let's not worry about having to actually do anything. No. Verse 7, look with me. John says, "Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning." The old commandment is the word that you have heard. So what is John defending here? I've already alluded to it. If you look in verse 6, John is defending, he just said, whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus Christ walked. So if we're taking that seriously along with John's readers in the first century, you'd be sitting back and saying, that's a tall order. That's, you know, there's some proof that needs to be working out in my life. Grace is mighty to save me out of my sins, but to save me into a changed life. Jesus walked in a perfect love for God. And Jesus lived in a perfect love for us. Jesus washed the feet of Judas, who then went on to betray him to death. And Jesus is the example, the exact example of how we are supposed to live. So the idea that being a Christian is not about keeping commands, the idea that knowing Jesus is, it's not about rules, it's about a relationship, those ideas are dead wrong. They're not right. Every relationship you've ever been in comes with rules. It comes with rules for the proof of being in fellowship, right? If you will, there is a goal to God's grace in Jesus Christ. And I'll explain this more as we work through this. So any religion that has the idea of not following any commands is false. But knowing Christ at the cross leads us to keep the commands. This is what true religion is. And one of the commentaries I read said, John may be dealing with a serious charge against his teaching. The false teachers have claimed that John has in fact distorted the gospel by adding this command keeping to it. And so John says, guys, I'm not writing you anything new. This is not a new commandment. This is the old commandment that you had from the beginning. Look on the screen behind me. You remember the conversation Jesus had with a scribe, one of the teachers of the law. In Mark chapter 12, one of the scribes came up. He hears people trying to test Jesus. And he sees Jesus answering one question after another very wisely, stunning people. And the scribe has a question of his own, an honest question. And he asks him, which commandment is the most important of all, Jesus? And Jesus answered him, and he quotes out of the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament and the book of Leviticus. And Jesus answered, the most important command is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that God is one and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. See, the love command is the most important thing. It's what the cross has saved us into. And notice this. It says, and when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, he didn't say, okay, now scribe, forget about the law because I'm about to die and it doesn't matter. He said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Which means being saved, coming into the kingdom of God, is not only about the forgiveness of sins, but giving ourselves wholeheartedly to the love command. Loving God with all our heart and loving our neighbor as oneself. On these two commandments hangs the whole law. This is a test for us, as it was a test for John's early church, and the churches which Paul had planted, as to whether or not they were going to get Jesus right or get Jesus wrong. Because Jesus is not saying, forget about all God's commandments. Jesus is saying, we're going to fill up all God's commandments now. This isn't relaxing all the law. This is the law of remaining. I'm going to make you into my very own image. Christianity, in one way, it does take off the burden of guilt and sin, But it puts on another burden of becoming like Jesus Christ. And this is what the kingdom of God is about. So understand it this way. We are released from trying to satisfy the demands of the law. Okay, don't mishear me this morning and think that our forgiveness and our fellowship with God, being reconciled to God as guilty sinners, don't think that comes from command keeping. The cross has released us from trying to satisfy the demand of the law. We can't fulfill the law's demands. Christ has done that for us. He has obeyed for us. He has bled and atoned for our sins. He is our righteousness before God. And that is given to us through faith alone. We're united to Jesus, and God says He counts that righteousness as faith. But though we are released from trying to satisfy the law's demands, we are still directed by the righteousness of the law. It's not a new commandment. It's an old commandment from the very beginning. A lot of people with Jesus Christ, it's kind of like they want to drive the truck of the gospel down the road, but it's got a big trailer of God's kingdom and His commands at the back, and they say, "This is difficult. Why don't we just pull the pin on this trailer and leave the kingdom of God at the side of the road? And we can make a lot better time with this Jesus on a diet kind of thing," right? And they pull up at the destination. They said, "Look how fast we made it. Look at the great time we made." And you guys say, "Well, you haven't brought anything with you. You've made good time to nowhere. In fact, you've lost time because you need to turn your truck around, go back down the road, and pick up the trailer of command keeping that you left behind. Go pick it back up, come back here with something worthwhile." And so the grace of the cross has the command, has the goal of keeping this love command. So just a few reflections on that before we keep moving through the passage. That means that repentance, the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ, starts with a message of repentance. We have got to be proclaiming the same as John the Baptist and the same as Jesus Christ did. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Christianity begins with recognizing I am out of step with God's will for my life. I'm not walking in the love of God and in the love of neighbor. Even when we do those things, we do them for wrong motivations. And so Christianity begins with repentance. I'm out of God's way for me, and Christ is my only way by His cross that I come back in to fellowship with God. We've got to be talking to people that we ourselves had to repent. We turned and we came to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin and freedom, and not skipping that with people, saying this is where Christianity starts. Understanding you're not basically on the right path. You are basically on the wrong path. And the only way back in is through Christ. And so the love command also, it remains for us as Christians. If the love command and being serious about the love command is not part of our faith, then the kind of Christianity we have is not related to God. Because if it's something that's totally new and it has nothing to do with the old, we've made a false religion. So keeping the love command has to be part of our faith as Christians. I think, as we reflect on this personally, you might think, where do I need to put more meat on the bones of my faith as a Christian? What's popular right now is kind of like just easy believism, like just easy Christianity. And it's surprising because Jesus said the way that leads to life is a narrow road and a hard road, He called it, right? Faith is simple. Faith is simple. It's not complicated. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Savior. But it's hard. And sometimes we try to make a faith that is just like it's like following Jesus on a diet. And maybe this is a moment of reflection for you this morning and say, you know what? I have diet Christianity where I don't have any meat on the bones of it because I'm not learning to follow. I'm not building up. What are God's commands for me? And all of us at one point or another, we realize we ain't been eating right, And we realize the reason I can't run like I used to or move around like I used to is because I've not been feeding myself properly. And the same thing happens for me, happens for you in the Christian faith. We realize I'm struggling to grow into the image of Christ because I've been on a diet. I'm not feeding myself the commands that I need to have a faith that is strong. And so we want a faith that accords with the old, that is learning from Old and New Testaments together. And I think as we do that, we're going to find that our Christianity has got Christ at the front. He's the truck driving it and the trailer of the kingdom of God behind it. And all of a sudden, people are going to say, your Christianity is a lot more relevant. It has a lot more impact in the world. Watching you, I'm learning how to love God and love people because of Jesus Christ. And that's a relevant Christianity. A Christianity with meat on the bones, not a diet form of Christianity. The world's going to say, thanks, but no thanks. This doesn't answer any of the trouble that we're having. So the love command remains. Secondly, the love command is realized in Jesus Christ. This is only possible in Jesus. Verse 8, John says, at the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm writing to you. I had a hard time, I'll admit, studying this week. It's not old, but there he goes. At the same time, it is new. And they're like, what does that mean? Why? How could John say that? He says, at the same time, it's a new commandment I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. How can that be, that the old command from the beginning is now a new command that John is writing? How can something old now be something new? John is basically saying the old command has taken on a new life in Jesus Christ. This is where it's important that our Christianity is not just something old, but something new in Jesus Christ. The old command has come true in Jesus and in those who believe in him. The darkness is passing away and the light is shining. John had just read in John 13, verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And then he explains it, just as I, Jesus says, have loved you, so you also are to love one another. In a commentary, I found a little help. He said, Jesus lived that life of divine love, fulfilled perfectly, loving God with all his heart, perfectly loving everyone as himself. He also extended this life to his disciples as a new command. And after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the apostles discovered that as they obeyed this command, the promise found fulfillment. They began to know what it was to love as Jesus Christ had loved them. It's what John is saying that is that in Jesus Christ, in the work of his life, in the work of his death, in the work of his rising again, the power of darkness is like a spent storm. Like when you hear the rain stop, it starts to the pounding rain starts to turn into a drizzle, and you're like, oh, it's letting up. You know, the thunder gets further and further away. In the life of Jesus Christ, by his gospel, darkness has had the plug pulled on it. The true light of God, like the sun breaking through, it's already shining. Jesus Christ has become our new. He's now our pattern. He's now our payment, and he is now our power for keeping the love command. Remember what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I have this verse here. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So when we believed in Christ, we didn't get a touch-up to ourselves. We didn't get an add-on. We didn't get self-help. We were made a new creation. Christ has affected, if you will, a spiritual climate change in your life. That's become more part of our regular vocabulary. But that's basically more or less what John is getting at. You know, when I go down to Florida for a family vacation every year with Beth's family, we go down and her brother-in-law from Texas comes over, and it's great. When I go down there, it's a whole new climate, you know. The sun is hotter. It's comfortable to be outside. It's not 80 one day and then 40 the next morning, you know, as it is here. The beaches are better. You know, you're like, I go down to Lake Erie and Beth, you know, the first time we went down there, she's like, let's go for a walk on the beach. I'm like, you know, people in Cleveland, we just don't go for walks on the beach because it's not nice. It's broken up seashells that slice your feet up. There's driftwood. Who knows what else is out there on the beach, right? I could put that down, you know, now you bring kids. You're like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. Throw that back, right? When you go down to Florida, though, it's a different climate. You walk outside because the sun is nicer. The beaches are white sand. You can do in Florida what you cannot do in Cleveland. And basically, that's what John is getting at. The old command, which God has always intended for us, it's new now in Jesus Christ. It's possible for us in a way that never was before because we now know the love of Jesus Christ for us. He is now our pattern. He is now our payment to take away our sins and to take us out of these things. He is now our power with this Spirit living within us. It's a much higher standard than it ever was before. So Christianity is a new creation faith All right, Christianity, it's not just about adding some commands. It's not just, well, this helps me sort of carry on and just keep going. Christianity is about being united to Jesus Christ in His life, His death, and in His resurrection. Have you been made a new creation in Jesus Christ? Have you taken on, by faith, His life for you, His death for you, His resurrection for you? If the commands of God have not been made new for us, then we don't yet have Jesus Christ. We're still trying to keep the commands in the same old way. We got the wrong pattern. We're looking to ourselves. We got no payment for our sins. We got no power. We need to turn to Jesus Christ and say, make me new in all that you've done for me, that these commands might be new for me, and I can actually keep these. It's through faith alone. Will Christ have you? Yes, Christ will have you if you will come to Him. And instead of just trying to do the commands on your own, I plead to you this morning, come to Jesus Christ and believe in Him as your Lord and Savior, and you'll be able to keep these commands in a new way. So, also for us as Christians, we got to make sure that we're not just sharing the old commands with people. This is what the Word of God says. This is His standard. We do need to do that. But don't just share the old commands. Share with others about being made a new creation in Jesus Christ. Share about how you used to try to keep the commands the old way and couldn't, but now in Jesus Christ you keep them with a new power, and it makes all the difference. As believers, we need to keep the old commands in this new way of through faith in Christ. So I ask you this morning, how is God showing you how to keep the old command today in the new way of Jesus Christ? What I mean by that is, how is God showing you today? You say, you know what, I am learning how to forgive other people as I think about how Jesus has forgiven me. Are you learning to keep the old commands in the new way of Jesus? Okay, I have a grudge against this person. I struggle with, let's say, gossiping about this person. This person wronged me. And the love command is hard. It's like, well, the new way to keep that is think about how Jesus has forgiven you, that you may be able to forgive others. Am I learning how to be generous with my time, with my money, with my energy, because I think about how generous God has been with me? Am I learning how to be patient with the person that you just rather not be around, that you try to avoid, because you think about, well, Jesus has been patient with me? Or for me this week, I was challenged with, am I learning how to deny myself? Love of God and love of others will require me to just do the most basic thing of denying myself. And that's hard to do, but I can do that seeing how Jesus denied Himself and laid down His life for me and died on the cross. And so the old command, I keep it in the new way. As I think about how Jesus denied Himself, I'm learning how to deny myself. There's many others we could put in here, but I just ask you, our lives in Christ, they're supposed to be like a spiritual postcard of people around us, Like, oh, that person's from Florida, and they're able to do things down there that I can't do here in Cleveland. And we're supposed to be in Christ like, wow, that person is a new creation. They've had their climate changed. The darkness is passing away in that person. People aren't looking to us. They're not expecting us to be perfect. That's something I think we're just afraid of, and people, trump it out there every once in a while. You all think you're perfect. But you talk to any Christian. I haven't met a Christian in a long time who thought he was perfect, right? They're supposed to see in us that the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And so our lives for others in a dark world, guys, this is how it works. God changes. God is changing things one life at a time. I say, there goes Kathy. There goes Carolyn. That spiritual postcard of someone who has had their spiritual identity changed. And we tell them, this can be the same for you through Jesus Christ. Let me close. So the command remains, the command is realized in Christ, and the command is required for us. Verse 9, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. So John's saying, when it comes to walking in God's light, and the proof is knowing God's love for us, we love others then. John's saying what we say is only as good as what we do. Christianity can't just be about talking. Sometimes we just talk too much. It's about doing the deeds of love. I read in the commentary, it said, love unexpressed is not love at all. And for John, he's doing it black and white. Hate, for John, is just the absence of the deeds of love. The absence of the deeds of love for John is hating your brother. So Christianity is not a passive assent to the facts about Jesus' love. It has to become for us a practical walking out of learning to love each other in the way that Jesus Christ has loved us. Just for a little point of clarity, in this passage, brother probably does refer here to a fellow brother or sister in Jesus Christ. He's talking about loving other Christians. Not because John has no concern for those outside of the faith, but because he's trying to define who Christians are and what we're supposed to be. If you can't love a Christian, you got probably no chance of loving your neighbor. And so this is where we learn how to love one another in the way that Christ has loved us. And so he says, when we love our brother or sister in Christ, we're actually walking by God's light. And the encouraging thing by that this morning, which I love about our fellowship, we're walking in a great deal of love for each other here. John says, in him there is no cause for stumbling. It's a comfort to know that if you are loving your brother or sister in Christ, you are in the light of God. And you're walking on a safe path. That means that His light is showing you how to live. And you're not going to get tripped up when you're obeying the love command. And if you're putting two together, it means that if you will walk in love for God and love for each other, you will walk in spiritual safety. We're very fearful. No one wants to trip and fall, right? We're always being careful as we walk. Watch out for this, watch out for that. As Christians, we can also be filled up with, you know, the concerns about just spiritual security. And John's saying, love God with all your heart and love your brother as Christ loved you, and in you there will be no cause for stumbling. That's where spiritual security is found. Now, by contrast, in verse 11, we're coming to the end of the passage here, John says, whoever hates his brother is where? In darkness. And that means he walks in darkness and he does not know where he's going. He is as unsafe as he could spiritually be. And because he's a blind person. The darkness has blinded his eyes. And what John is saying is, if you're stumbling around in the dark with hating one another, the problem is not the people around us. The problem means you have gone to the window and you have shut the light. You've shut the window on God's light of his love for you. You don't have a people problem, John says. You've got a God problem. You've got a problem with God, John says. So, you know, when you're tripping over things in the dark, you're stumbling around in the dark, you know. You do this every night, you know. Beth makes it to bed before I do, and I'm on the way up. She shuts the lights off on me, and boom, on the side of the bed. Trip over the dark, you know. Hope he doesn't yelp. Got the clothes laying there, and I got the big air conditioner in the way. You know, the answer is not to try to rearrange things in the dark, right? That is just foolishness. I need to go to the window and open it and pull back the curtain and let the light in so I can see how to walk around all the stuff that's in my room. The answer is not getting rid of everything. The answer is light. In the same way, living the way that Jesus walked is not by continually focusing on how difficult it is to love one another and how difficult it is to love God with all our heart. The answer is to go to God and let his light shine upon you. The light of his love for us in Jesus Christ to shine upon us and show us the way. You know, the world around us, it cannot figure out its people problems. It's another shooting, another crime spree, people entrenched in political parties, then calling each other just the worst things possible. The world is not figuring out its people problem. Why? Never will. Because it won't come to God to figure out its God problem. God is doing that. God is drawing people to himself. And the church of Jesus Christ around the world is showing God is fixing our God problem. And then that changes our people problem. We learn to love as he has loved us. So it's darkness to God's light that blinds. So the answer to a lacking love is letting more of God's light in. And so perhaps this morning, wherever you're finding the love of God as a Christian, wherever you're finding the love of God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, wherever you're finding that difficult, or perhaps wherever you're finding it impossible to love someone in the way that Christ loved you, can I tell you the answer this morning is to go to God and let his light the light of the gospel shine bright again and say, well, because Jesus has loved me, and in Jesus' love for me, that is what will show me the way to love God with all my heart and to love my neighbor as myself. So, the crossword puzzle is complete. God is light. Christ is the way. Love's the command. We can do these things in Jesus Christ. The darkness is passing away, and the light is already shining in Him. So pray with me. Let's thank God for so great a light and so great a love. Father, I think of what Paul said in Corinthians, that he said, what do you have that you did not receive? God, we thank you. You have shown us such an amazing grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. You have loved us so perfectly. You have loved us effectively. By the life that Jesus laid down for us and by the suffering that Jesus endured, He has won the forgiveness of our sins and a sure promise that we will be with Him for all eternity. God, help us from a passage like this to see that walking in the light really means then that we continue to love each other. So Lord, as we've heard this word, we pray that you would help us not to attempt to do this in our own strength, but to dwell upon your love for us. We can't love you with all our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves in our own strength. We've got so many things hindering us and holding us back. But when we come to you, Christ, and the life we have in you and the hope we have in you, then we find it possible to trust you and to love you, God, with all our hearts, and to love you, to love others the way that Jesus has loved us. So help us to have this kind of true Christianity. Thank you to the degree in which we already are embodying this, Lord, and the degree to which people stop us and ask us and say, what's different about you? Where's your church at? I think I want to hear about Jesus Christ. Thank you for all the ways this is already happening. Thank you that the darkness is passing away and the true light is shining in Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.